To John chapter number 21, the only thing worse than having no message is having two messages that you're trying to go back and forth between, and that's sort of what I've been experiencing today. I've been praying this week and just couldn't get really settled on anything, but I've had just one little thought on my mind, and so instead of going with the more prepared, I guess you might say, I'm going to go with the devotional thought that I've got on my mind. I've got a few thoughts I want to try to bring across this morning. By the help of the Lord, you pray that He would have His way and speak to our hearts. And I know most of you know how it is. You'll work yourself to death trying to get ready to take a few days off and go somewhere. Seems like you have to work twice as hard. And Noah and I, just one thing we've been working on, seems like for a month now, is trying to get far enough ahead in the radio ministry that we can take off a week. And it takes more than you might think to get ahead far enough to be able to be gone one week. So I appreciate his help and trying to get everything done and ahead of time and everything, but I think we've got it all ready. But you just pray this morning that the Lord would have His way and speak to our hearts. We're going to read in John chapter number 21, in verses 1 through 14, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And you just pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts and have His way this morning. John chapter number 21, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank You for all the many blessings that You've given to us, and for everybody that's here today. Lord, I just pray that You'd speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, as we look now into the Word of God, that it might be a help and a blessing unto us. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that, God, we could be like that disciple John, and we could see You maybe when others don't really recognize You and what You're doing. But Lord, John did, and he knew it was You. And Lord, we just thank You for the fact today that You are real in our lives. You're still working and moving and helping and revealing Thyself unto us. Lord, I pray for Your help today. I'm nothing in and of myself. And I just pray, God, that You'd give that liberty which we stand in need of. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd meet our needs, Lord. I'm thankful for answered prayer as we come today and meet together. I'm thankful, Lord, Sister Judy's back with us today. And I just pray you continue to bless and be with her. And Lord, there are those that are not able to be here today. I pray for them, those that have health problems and, Lord, maybe are away traveling or something. God, we just pray you just, your hand of protection would be upon them. And Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Have your way just now. Speak to our hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read one more verse or one verse again this morning. That's verse number 7. And that'll sort of give us a thought for today. The Bible said there in verse number 7, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord." And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning, just that little subject, it is the Lord. And we want to look in the Word of God here, and I'll read some of these other verses again and sort of go through them and try to paint the picture for you this morning. But that's what I've had on my mind this week. I kept thinking and going over in my mind, even as I was studying for other things, how it must have been on that morning and the circumstances around the story here. And I'm always careful to use that word story when I'm talking about the Bible, the Word of God, because I don't even want our children to get it in their mind that it's a story, such as a fictional story, but it's a factual story that we find here in the Word of God. And so as we read the account, I guess that would be a better way to put it. I always try to picture in my mind what it would have been like and what happened on that day. And here we read about that Jesus was there on the shore, and the Bible said here that they were about 200 cubits away from where the Lord Jesus was there on the shore as they were fishing out there. And 200 cubits would have been about, and I use this word approximately, but they'd have been about 200 yards away from the Lord. So I guess if you take being out on the water and it early in the morning, even if you heard somebody yell at you and you looked over there at that time of day and knew that there was somebody and maybe could see a little fire burning, but they didn't recognize that it was him, but John knew it was him. And all the others were in the same boat, and they seen the same thing, and they heard the same thing, but it was John, and I'll show that to you in just a moment, that looked over there on the shore and heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, and they obeyed what he told them to do. And when they did that, and they caught that multitude of fishes, John the beloved said, "It is the Lord." And when Peter heard that, he girded himself about, jumped in, swam to shore, and we'll see some of these things today. But as I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, I wonder if after this happened, maybe a few weeks or a few months or maybe even a few years after this took place, I just wondered to myself if one of the disciples or some of the disciples, if they'd ever got back together and discussed what took place on this morning. I wonder if any of them would have ever asked John, "How did you know it was him? How did you know that it was him?" Because as evidently he's the only one at this point that recognized it being the Lord. But John knew that it was the Lord. And I just wondered and thought to myself, I wonder if any of the rest of them ever asked him later on, "How did you know it was the Lord?" Now, I want to say just a couple of things about John the Beloved. Now, it does not say here that this is John that said that. In verse number 7, the Bible says this. It says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord." Now if you look back in chapter number 13, that's how you discover it was John the Beloved, John the disciple. Now, there's two Johns. There's actually more than that in the Bible, but we think about the two most famous Johns. There's John the Baptist, and then there's John the Beloved. John the Beloved, he was one of the apostles, and he wrote the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And evidently he lived longer than any of the rest of them. He was the last living disciple, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. But in John chapter number 13 and verse number 23, we read over there in the Bible about the night before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find the disciples there in the upper room gathered together, partaking of the Last Supper. And it said in John chapter 13 and verse number 23, it said, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." And if you read all of this account here, you'll find out that the one leaning upon his breast was John. And so we see here that John, as he was out in the boat on this morning, he knew that it was the Lord. And as I thought about this morning, I thought to myself, you know, I'd like to be like John was. I'd like to be able to be spiritual enough in my life. And I believe we could say this morning that John was the most spiritual of all of them. He had the greatest devotional heart of any of the disciples, and he recognized the Lord when the others didn't. And I'd like to be like that this morning. I'd like to have a devotional spirit. I'd like to have a close enough walk with the Lord that when maybe others don't see it's the Lord, I'd like to be able to say and stand up and say, "You know what? That's the Lord. That's the Lord." We see God's hand in something. We see the Lord answer prayer. We see circumstances come together. Maybe other people, they don't recognize it, but I'd like to be like John. I'd like to be able to stand up and say with certainty, "I'll tell you who that is. That's the Lord. That's the Lord." And so that's what I'm going to try to preach on this morning. But if they'd have come along in later years and they'd ask John, you know, "How did you know it was the Lord?" I believe this maybe would have been what he might have said or pointed out to them. First of all, I say this morning, I'd like to say it was his timing. "How'd you know it was the Lord, John?" Well, it was his timing. Look in verse number 3 what the Word of God says. The Bible says over there in verse 3, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." And let me just say right here, if we were to take time to study all of this out and go back into verse 2, there was Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, you know, he was doubting Thomas. Nathanael, he was also a critic of the Lord. Once upon a time, he's the one that said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were called the sons of thunder. You remember they were the ones that time that wanted to call fire down out of heaven and barbecue those that didn't walk with them, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say this morning, these were all problem children. These are all ones that we could point out and say, you know, they had some issues in their life. They're the ones that decided, along with Peter, that they were going to go fishing. But the Bible said in verse 3, Simon Peter, he's always the leader, whether for the good or for the bad, it seems like. He saith unto them, "I go fishing." I'm tired of standing around here waiting. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to go fishing. Now, as I read that this morning, I thought to myself, there's already some of you, you're interested in this. I go fishing. Well, we can identify with Peter, you know, in a lot of ways. He said, "I go fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. First of all, this morning, it was his timing. He came along after a night in which they had caught nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but now, I like night, and I like sleeping at night. To me, it would not appeal to me one little bit to go fishing all night long. But I think these fellas liked it. You know, some people like stuff like that. It's sort of like coon hunting. I've been one time. One thing I don't like about coon hunting, you got to stay up all night long. That's just not my cup of tea. I think when night comes around, you ought to be in the bed asleep. And night'll go by a whole lot quicker for you and a whole lot better for you. But these fellas, I think that was just part of their lifestyle. It was part of their trade they enjoyed, and it was part of their technique that they would go out and fish all night long. But I'll tell you, it was odd for them, I believe, for them to go out and fish all night long and catch nothing. Because they were professional fishermen. And they knew how to fish and where to fish and where all the honey spots was and all of those things. And although they may have enjoyed going out and fishing all night long, it is not joyful to go out and fish all night long and catch nothing. But that's exactly what they did. And you know, that's how a lot of us in our lives, we do not recognize the Lord until it comes a point in our lives where we failed in what we're trying to do. We're fatigued in what we're trying to do. We're fruitless in what we've tried to do. We've been fooled in what we've tried to do. Have you ever been there this morning? I mean, you just at your wit's end. You've tried everything under the sun. We could say this morning, as we studied this passage of Scripture, we could say they failed in their business. They failed in their venture. They failed in their object. I mean, they were complete failures on this next morning. And I'm sure some of them other fellows were kicking themselves that they had followed Peter out there. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I wonder if they ever called him Pete. And I'm sure by the next morning, after all night long and they hadn't caught anything, maybe one of them stood up and said, "Great idea, Pete. You know, here we have. We fished all night long. We've wasted all this time. We've wasted all this effort. We've never had such a fruitless time in our fishing business." I mean, you remember, this was what they knew how to do above all other things. But here is a time in their lives when where they know what to do, they are unsuccessful in being able to do it. They've just failed miserably. But the timing of the Lord, you can't get any better than His timing. They had failed miserably. And verse number 4, the Bible says, talking about His timing this morning, the Bible said in verse number 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." I like that, and I've got it underlined in my Bible. "But when the morning was now come," there's several things in the Bible we could look at today talking about when the morning comes. Psalms chapter 30 and verse number 5, the Bible says over there, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." I like that. Well, I tell you, you spend some nights where all night long, or time periods in your life where all you've done is fatigue and failure and getting nowhere and doing no good thing, and it's a night time, a dark time in your life. You spend a night where you can't sleep, and night time can be long times. I'm sure most of us here today have spent a night or two where we just couldn't sleep, and we sat there and we think to ourselves, "My goodness, is this night ever going to get over with? Is the morning ever going to come?" And it's a miserable thing to not be able to sleep and to sit up all night long. But the Bible says weeping may endure for a night. That's a picture in our life of toils and trials and troubles and all of those things. But the psalmist said, "But joy cometh in the morning." Thank God for that. I like Lamentations 3 and 22 and 23. The Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." We could stop right there and spend a long time. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Well, I'll tell you how He puts up with us and our failures and our bright ideas and the things we go after that mean nothing and all of these things and the nights we spend toiling and getting nowhere and doing nothing. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I like that. There's been times where I thought night would never end. But His timing is impeccable. I mean, you can't write things how the Lord works them out sometimes. I mean, Hollywood tries to make stories, and there have been no telling how many multitudes of books with great plots and stories and all of these things. But I'll tell you, who writes the best stories is the Lord. His timing is impeccable. He does not miss in His timing, in the words, and everything that He does and says, and in all of His actions. And I believe John knew it was the Lord because of His timing. I mean, isn't that just like the Lord? He didn't come the evening before and try to stop them from going fishing. You know what? They'd have argued with Him. Sometimes the Lord just lets us go on and do a little something because He knows we're going to do it anyway. But I'll tell you, when we get to the end of ourselves and the night is over and the sun dawns, there He is. There He is. John said, it's the Lord. I know it's the Lord because of His timing. Second of all, this morning he would have said, I knew it was the Lord because of His tactic. That's the methods that He uses. Now I want to show you something about His tactics here in chapter number 21. His timing was perfect. They toiled all night. The sun was coming up in the horizon over there. But listen to what He said in verse number 5. His tactics that He used. He said in verse number 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now, just the way that He addressed them there. He said, children. That's a term of endearment. Children, have ye any meat? And notice how they answered Him. They answered Him, no. Notice how they didn't elaborate on that. They didn't have any. Have you ever been disappointed in your life and things didn't work out how you wanted them to work out, and you had this little tiny bit of maybe some bitterness in your heart and in your life, and anybody ask you how things is going and they got the short answer? Well, the Lord Jesus got the short answer. Children, have ye any meat? You know what the Lord Jesus was trying to do here in verse number 5? He was trying to draw a confession out of them of the real need that they had. And let me say this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is more concerned with our hearts than He is our fish or anything else. It's not that the Lord was really interested. He knew they didn't have any fish. He knew their nets were empty. He knew the boat was empty. But I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to get out of them. He was trying to get a heart confession out of them about their true condition. And so He asked them there in verse number 5, children, have ye any meat? We could ask it like this morning. Somebody comes along, they say, you know, how are you doing? And you know how we are. We're all trained hypocrites. We give the right answer, the answer people want to hear, not necessarily the way it really is. And so somebody comes along and they say, how you doing? And we say, fine, how are you? Just fine, great, couldn't be better, wonderful. Lying all the time, lying all the time. You know a good friend, they recognize that. And they'll come along, they'll prod a little farther, and they'll say, really, really, how you doing? That's how the Lord is doing to them. Children, have you any meat? No. He's trying to get right down to the heart of the problem. How are you really doing? You know, it's hard to fake not having any fish. Might as well just be honest with the Lord. He knows anyway. You can't fake a boat full of fish if you don't have. It'd be pretty obvious if they'd have been successful through the night. But I think the fact that the sun was coming up and the net was still in the water and they had toiled all night long, I think that's pretty good evidence they wasn't doing too good. You know what? I'm thankful for the Lord. He'll come along and say, how you doing? Really, how are you doing? The good Holy Ghost of God, it'll come along in the night of our lifetime and before the sun has come up, and He'll ask us the hard questions in life that'll really make us ask ourselves the question, how are we really doing? Not too good. What's He want out of us? Just a confession. That not too good Have you got any meat? Is your boat full? You making it all right in life? You got joy and peace and love and all of those things that come along with the fruit of the Spirit and everything? How's it really, really going? How are you doing in your life this morning? Just tell the Lord and be honest. He knows. You might as well just tell Him the truth first time. Have you any meat? No. We don't have a thing. He wanted a confession out of him. It was his timing. He was there at the right time. It was his tactic. He asked the right question. Then in verse number 6, I see something else about his tactic, his methods that he used. Verse 6 said, "And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. You know what he was trying to draw out of them? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The just shall live by faith. This thing about being a Christian and walking with God, it's not walking by what we see, it's walking by what we don't see. Faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, but Peter is a professional fisherman. He knows how to fish. He knows how to fish. Sons of Zebedee, they were called by the Lord Jesus Christ right out of their father's boat. Come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They knew how to fish. Do you know what aggravates me more than anything is when I know how to do something and somebody comes along and tells me how to do something. I know how to do that. My daddy's the world's worst. I've got my garden and his garden, and when we're working in my garden, I tell him, I say, I'm the chief and you're the Indian over here. When we get over there, you can be the chief and I'll be the Indian, but we can't both be the chief. I know how to do that. I know how to do it. Don't, Dad, you don't have to tell me how to do that. Don't you think Peter and them fellas knew how to fish? Don't you think that their common sense argued against that? My goodness, right side of the boat, left side of the boat, we've been out here all night long. My common sense, my reason tells me it don't make any difference. How far is that for a fish? If there's that many fish, surely they'd have swam into the net by then, but you know, sometimes the Lord comes along and we're doing something one way, and He says, you need to do it this way. And our common sense and our reason and our friends and society and everything all round about us tells us, no, that ain't going to do no good. But there's this thing about faith. And the Lord Jesus is trying to draw out of them not only a confession, Lord, we don't have any fish, but faith. And let me say something else. Faith leads to action. Faith is an action word. Don't tell me. James talked about the book of James. He talked about there. He said, I will show you my works by my faith by my works. I'm not just going to stand around and say, yes, I believe. I'm going to do something that proves I believe. And the Lord asked them to do something that proved that they believed. And so to their credit this morning, you know what they did? They hauled up, and you know what? It was no small effort to do that. It wasn't like us thinking about fishing, like they had to get a net out of one side of the water. They had to cast it out on the other side of the water. But the Lord Jesus was trying to get them to exercise some faith in their life. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Trust Him. Let Him prove Himself to you this morning. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so they did that in verse number 6. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. See, He didn't say, why don't you try it? He said, do it and you'll find them. See, there's a difference. You and I might come along and give some advice and say, why don't you try this? The Lord Jesus is not in the trying business. He said, you do it, you do what I say, you do what I tell you when I tell you, and you will find the fish. And so let's see what they did. Verse number 6, the Bible said, they cast therefore, And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Boy, you know what this morning? If you and I would just look, it's no accident that it said in verse number 6 that he said for them to cast on the right side. You know, if you and I this morning just get on the right side, there's only two sides. There's our side and there's the Lord's side. There's the devil's side and there's the Lord's side. And it's no accident whatsoever that they were fishing on the left side, and so the Lord said, get on the right side. If you get on my side, if you get on the right side, and they did, and they couldn't draw it up into the boat because they had so many multitude of fishes in that net, and so they supplied he supplied their need miraculously on that day. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what? Before we get out of this thing, a whole lot more people might find out what it means to really live by faith. Really have to trust God and see Him supply. And I'm telling you this morning, God supplies the needs of His children. It's not just some words that we use as Christians, but He really does supply. And He supplies right on time. And there is no end to His bank that we can draw out of. I guess would be a good way to put it this morning. What I'm saying is He is able to do what He says He will do. It's not a bad way to live. I always think about when I talk about faith, I always talk about Brother Lester Roloff, great preacher many years ago, who lived by faith, and God did many great things through him and because of his faith. And I've got a little message that I used to have by him, and he talked about these silly young preachers whining about having to live by faith. It's so hard to live by faith. That's how Christians are supposed to live. We're supposed to live by faith. And as we live by faith, He supplies our need. My God shall supply all your need. And so it was the tactics that He used. He drawed out a confession from them, and He made them have to exercise their faith in obedience to His word. And then He gave them what they stood in need of and more. More. You talk about fish tails. You talk about them going back into town and telling about all them fish they caught. I'm sure people said, no, you didn't catch that many fish. Oh, yes, we did. The Lord was there. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so it was, if John had said, I knew it was the Lord because of His timing. And I knew it was the Lord because of His tactics. And last of all this morning, he'd have said, I knew it was the Lord because of His tenderness. I read verses 9 through 12, but I'm going to read down through them again and comment just a little bit as we go. The Bible said in verse number 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. You see, the Lord had already made preparation. He already had for them what they stood in need of. Now, I would not stand here this morning and tell you I was a great fisherman or anything like that, but you get fish and cook it on an open fire, there's nothing better. Maybe the Lord had just a little butter and salt and pepper. I think I had to just topped it all off. But I tell you, I bet it's good. And it's already prepared. God already knew what you needed when you was in the middle of the night. God knew how weak you'd be when you came out of your trial. God knew how puzzled you'd be over that it didn't work out how you thought it would and all of those things. And so He already had the fire because no doubt they were cold. And He already had the fish and He already had the bread because He knew they was hungry. And boy, they needed something, and God already had it. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And oh, how tender He is in dealing with them here. I've already pointed out in verse number 5, He said, Children, have you any meat? They get to the shore, He's already got the meal prepared there. Verse number 10, the Bible said, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. I thought about that. Isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like the Lord to let us think we've done a little something and really we didn't do nothing? We didn't do nothing. He's the one that caught the fish. He's the one that put them fish in that net. But he didn't say to them, you bring the fish which I... He didn't put them down in what he did. He said, you bring them fish you caught. He said, you done it. The Bible says we're laborers together with him. We can't do anything by ourselves. But I'll tell you, we get yoked up with the Lord and do what he says when he says, boy, he's able to bless. Isn't it just like the Lord to let them think they'd done a little something when actually they hadn't done nothing? Verse 11 said, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. There's a message in that. That's the gospel. He won't lose one. Of all that he saves, he'll not lose one. And boy, he brought up this miraculous catch of fishes, and they were large, they were great, and there was many of them and all of those things. But I look on down to verse number 12, what I'm trying to get to. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. You know, as I read these verses 9 through 12 here, there's some things I thought of in dealing with them and his tenderness toward them. Boy, the Lord, he's a gentleman. You know what? They shouldn't have been out there fishing. That's not what the Lord told them to do. That was their bright idea, and Peter was the leader in the whole thing, and some of them followed after them, but it wasn't what the Lord told them to do, and they shouldn't have been out there fishing that night. But you know what? The Lord wasn't mad at them. There's a lot of people goes through life thinking God's mad at them, thinking that because they tried something and failed in it, that God doesn't love them, or God's mad at them, or God done something to them. But I'll tell you, you know what, right here, they could have had that attitude. Why? We didn't catch no fish. Why didn't God bless us? Because God is really trying to bless you. You may be going through a hard time, and you may think God's mad at you, but it might just be God's just trying to get you where you'll look to him. And you can see how much he wants to bless you. God wasn't mad at them. A lot of people go through life thinking God's mad at them, thinking God don't... They've got a warped view of how the Lord really is. But he wasn't mad at them. He didn't bless them out when they got to shore. You know, you and I, we've all had bosses before, most of us. And we know how it is to do something and not be successful in it. And boy, you get to work, or you come back to where you work there, and you're just expecting you're going to get blessed out. You're going to get fussed at. The Lord didn't bless them out. The Lord didn't fuss at them. The Lord did none of those things. He said, children, he said, come and die. You talk about somebody that's a gentleman. I think to myself, and I'm not an old preacher, I'm not a young preacher this morning, I'm in limbo, I'm in the middle somewhere now. I don't feel like I see some of these young preachers, but I'm not an old preacher either. But I think to myself, as I age and get older, oh, how I want to be like the Lord. Boy, just be able to help people. Be able to help people when they're hurting the most. That's how they were. And he said, children, come and dine. Boy, you talk about a heart surgeon that knows how to deal with our heart and our feelings and our emotions, and how to bring out of them what he wanted to get out of them. And he said, come and dine. Boy, what an invitation this morning. Revelation 3 and 20, the Lord Jesus and John wrote this down too. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Boy, what a gentle picture. Maybe when John wrote that down, he remembered the Lord Jesus standing on the shore that morning, just knocking to them disciples saying, hey, you got anything out there to eat? Hey, well, come over here. I've got it all prepared. We can sit down. We can dine together. Come and dine. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's to sit down and to repose together and to enjoy one another's fellowship. Boy, I tell you, what a great time that would have been on the shore that morning, sat there with the Lord. Not even have to ask if that's him. They knew who it was then. You know what? You don't have to talk to fellowship. I don't know what they said. If they said anything else, they didn't have to say anything else. He was there with them. Isn't it good when we can get in His presence? And oh, how tender He was with the disciples that morning. And I could go on down. I'm not going to go to. But you'll see if you read the chapter when you get home how tenderly He dealt with Peter, the one that led the others astray and got them out fishing again when the Lord had called them to be fishers of men. And there they were being fishers of fish. And you read on down and you'll see how the Lord dealt with Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked him, do you love me? Sort of aggravated Peter by the end, but he is trying to get something across to Peter. I didn't want you to go back to fishing fish. We're fishers of men now. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to take care of the flock. Got something better for you. I tell you, what a blessing this morning as the disciples would have maybe gathered together years after that and went over the events in their mind. And somebody said, John, how'd you know it was the Lord? Oh, I can just see him pointing over to the shore. It's the Lord. Boy, I like that. I like when he comes by and we can say, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. He'll help you in your night. He'll help you through the night. He'll help you in your trials, in your tribulations, all of those things. He'll meet your needs. Say, preacher, what do? Confess and tell him. Come to him. Obey him and do what he's asked you to do. And oh, he's so tender. I'll tell you what, when I've failed the most is when he's been the nearest and the dearest to my heart. And I felt the most of the grace and peace of God in my life. He's tender with His children. Treats us like sheep. Treats us like children. And He's the good shepherd this morning. I appreciate the Lord this morning and all that He's done for us. And I just like that in verse number 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's calling in your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be like Peter and just jump in. Swim to him, go to him, run to him, get in his presence. Boy, it's sweet to come and dine.